Does anyone want to tell me how things went this past week?
Nope.
Nope.
Well, it went good, and then it went bad. I kind of got off the track Friday.
Hey, it went good. That's wonderful.
And then today I got back, and even with some of it going bad, I still managed some other offshoots. Good things happened.
Congratulations. You should feel really good about that.
Yeah, I do.
I'm glad. And I know I heard another beep. Who is that joining us?
Brian, I'm back.
You're back. Wonderful. Well, you know what? Since you're back, Brian, we were kind of waiting for you. We are going to get started.
Wow.
How's that? So we've got Brian, Tony, Rosalind, and Melanie on the phone. Anybody else? Just us. Okay. Well, let's get started, and let's see what happens here. Real quick review of teleclass etiquette. You guys are all old hands at this point. Let's just see who joined us now.
This is Marina.
Marina, welcome. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you.
We're just getting started, so you are right on time. Just a real quick review of some teleclass etiquette. So if you're in a noisy room, you're eating something, you're keying something into your computer, whatever's going on, if you're in a noisy place, just either hit a mute button on your phone or hit the number 6 to mute yourself. And again, you're welcome to participate. I really appreciate the questions that we get and working through it all. So to participate again, if you've muted yourself, then just hit 6 to unmute yourself. And let's make sure we get the questions answered. Your questions really help us to add a lot of value to the class. You think of a lot of things that I don't. So last week we talked about deciding where to start getting organized and the actual process of sorting through our things. So who wants to share some of their experiences with us? Tell us the good. Tell us maybe the not so good. Tell us what was it like? Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll jump back in again.
Go ahead.
The first time I spent...
Just once again, just please say your name before you talk because not everyone could see you. Okay?
This is Rosalind. And the first time that I spent on the project was actually right after I hung up from the call last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I tackled working on the dining table. And the first phase of it was to get rid of all the paperwork and things that I could get rid of. Got through that really pretty easily. And that's not the first time I've gotten to that stage with that and other projects. Then I started putting things into folders, so I've still got things on the table now, but I've got it down to about 3 or 4 reasonable stacks of like things. This was with a pretty significant interruption from like Friday until this morning when I got up and started working on it again. Some of the good that came out of it was in going through some of this stuff. One of my folders that I created was a follow-up and needs attention. Got things in there and actually followed up and tackled some of that at different times over the last few days.
Wow.
The challenge that I faced that has surfaced that I'm now realizing is that I actually like to work on my dining table. So even though I have an office in another room, I really don't like to stay in there. So things kind of tend to come from the mail and the computer, go to the dining table, pull about, sometimes end up on one end of the kitchen counter where I also like to keep my list for the day. So I have become aware in working with this that I need to look at creating a workspace environment that works for me.
That is such a huge, huge recognition, and it is, as you're saying, it is so key to making this work for you. You'll probably find, or you would probably find, that if you tried to move everything back into your office, unless you did something to make that office really inviting to you, it's not going to be where you end up.
No, so, the only time I really want to be in the office is that's where my computer is, and it's a desktop, and I've even contemplated at one point seeing if I could move the dining table into the office area and make that the dining thing and put my work area out in what is adjacent to the kitchen, because that would... I like the view out here better, and it also would let me do things like multitask, so when I cooked, I wouldn't have to wait for the smoke detectors to go off to return to the kitchen.
then that's a really admirable reason. But that sounds like, you know, you really start to uncover a lot of the issues as to probably why things are ending up the way they are. And how were you able to start, cued you in to start handling some of the tasks that you put in your follow-up pile?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What helped you to start getting some of the tasks done that you were putting into that follow-up folder?
I think the fact that they were in the folder, and I went through and I looked at the different things, and there were some of them that were things that were not urgent, some that I put in there, but they really didn't need to happen for a while.
Yeah.
And then other things, I just sort of worked up to the top of the pile with a few things that I needed to take care of and went ahead and did that. I got two or three things mailed that I'd been had handled about six times already, and finally they're gone now. So it's
one thing to think about, and you know, this is for everybody on the call. A lot of people make follow-up or to handle or deal with these kind of things later, kind of piles or folders or whatever they are, and they make a lot of sense. But the one recommendation I would have is that when you put something in this pile or file or whatever you're using, write a date on it. Or else write what the action is that you want to do.
I did that with a couple of things. Put a post-it on it to remind
you. You could do that. You could just take a pen and write on it. You know, so if you're putting in there, a coupon or something that, you know, you want to buy something at some point. And let's say it's a coupon that has like six different items on it. You know, just write the item and the date you want to do it. So that next time you're flipping through it, you actually know what it was in there for. So, you know, that goes for, you know, just brings it to a higher level of consciousness, and it also helps you decide if you really want to put it in that file. So, anybody else want to share something with us? Congratulations on all your progress, by the way.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I know, Brian, you were talking about something in an email you sent to me. Can I put you on the spot here?
You dare, yes.
Okay, well, now you're back on the spot. What is it that you had mentioned something about the project not being quite as tangible anymore? What do you mean by that?
Okay, here's what I mean. We were talking about where do you want to start.
Yeah.
And what was the way the brainstorming, the direction that it seemed to go in, for me was, let's see here, you want to start somewhere that is most important, perhaps, mm-hmm. an area that is key, an area that will help you the most, an area, you know, as a good place to start.
Yep.
So with, okay, great. So with that in mind, I'm reading the questions, and I read the questions before I begin writing for the worksheet. Where are you going to start? Why? How do you envision it functioning, et cetera? How do you feel when it's organized? Strategies, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I know where. Where I want to start is my mind.
Oh, wow. That's really neat. And what do you have to do then to do that? How do you organize your mind?
Okay. I begin to kind of think that, first of all, the first thing that goes through my mind is, if I start with my mind, it makes anything and everything else that I do, perhaps hopefully a little bit better. And as an ADDer, it's a challenge to, okay, well, I'm going to start here. And then you're halfway through it. Oh, I forgot. I need to start here. Well, I might as well start here. Well, and then you're there. Then there goes everything all over again. So I said, let me try starting with my mind. And starting with my mind, organization, when I think of organization, I think of organization of your time and organization of your things.
Yeah.
So I said, if I can organize my mind, then when I go to my things and my time, it will prove better. So that's what I have there. And then as far as why, organizing this one area of my life would have an effect on everything that I do. How do I envision this space functioning once it's organized? I have down, an uncluttered mind means reduction of things on my mind.
Yeah.
more focus on things that are on my mind, less stress, less mess, and getting priorities done. So, and in answer to your other question as far as how, I am referring to my thought process, and it's also an attitude of, look, I have to do things the proper way. I guess I'm referring to a system so that when I do things, I do them in a better, more productive way.
So, you know, it sounds to me that we could also apply the same theory that we're working on with stuff to your mind. So what can you do to declutter your mind? How do you sort through the things in your mind?
I didn't need this class.
Excuse me?
If I knew how to do that, I wouldn't be at this class.
Okay, but let's see if we could do some brainstorming here. Because if the ideas come from me, then not nearly as effective as if they come from you.
Okay. So now, good point, both of you. Now, repeat your question, please.
My question is, how do you sort through some of the things in your mind? That was step one, was to sort.
Okay.
So how do you sort through and declutter a little bit?
Okay. I declutter my mind when I take what is on my mind and I write it down.
Okay.
I just have writing. I got to get it off of my mind and onto paper, but I have to improve how I go about doing that so that I just have to improve how I go about doing that.
And we'll be talking systems today, so that is wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then once I get it out of my mind on the paper, then I pick maybe three things. I can't stay just one because I know it's hard to stay on just one, but if I don't go above three, I'm okay. So if my mind has to bounce, it can't bounce beyond those three things.
Yep. So you're allowing yourself to multitask. You're allowing yourself to jump between different things, but within a limited number of those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what my goal is to have nothing else on my mind except for these three things, and then now I have decluttered my mind because the only thing on my mind is these three things, and anything else that pops into my mind, I either have to write it down and forget about it or forget about it until these three things are done.
That's really cool, Brian. I'm really excited about the way that you took the assignment and made it really work for you. And, you know, part of the reason we do this exercise is so that you really say to yourself, you know what, my dining room table is really simply not that important to me. What's important to me is something else. Or why is it important to me? And it really makes the exercises you're doing so much more valuable. So I'm excited to see how this progresses. I think it's going to be fun to watch this one. In my sick way of fun, you know, right? So let's move on a little bit. We'll start talking about what we've done, and we'll get into, I'm sure, a lot more stories as we go through things. So last week, we spent a whole bunch of time talking about, and hopefully in your homes and in your minds and everywhere else, you know, starting to really sort through and decide what you really needed and what you didn't. And that's really, really hard work. You know, what Brian was saying, you know, he's really kind of sorting through ideas and saying, you know, I don't need this idea anymore. And that's, you know, or our things or whatever it is, it's really tough work. Last week I was with a client, and we were working in an area, actually it was a staircase leading up to her attic. And on the staircase, she had lots of things that needed to go upstairs, as many of us do. And on this staircase with some gently used wrapping paper, you know, only used once or twice before. And it was cute wrapping paper, and I asked her what it was for. And she told me that she saves wrapping paper to use for future gifts. Sure, no problem there. Now, in addition to this gently used wrapping paper, she also had three brand new rolls of wrapping paper heading upstairs. Now, we spent 5 minutes on this single piece of gently used wrapping paper. What would she use it for? When would she use it? Was there something else she could use instead of it? And ultimately, she decided to throw this wrapping paper away. But this wasn't an easy decision. It was not a trivial decision. And you have to give yourself some credit for making these decisions. They're not easy. And as we're going through things, they come into contact with us every day. The key is to ultimately make the decisions on a continual basis and get into the habit of making these decisions and really decide as things come into your life or as you bring things into your life, what value is this thing giving you before you decide to give it space in your time, space in your life and time? Really, what value is it giving you? And I really never say to anybody, you need to throw out this piece of wrapping paper. You have 7 other rolls. You don't need this one. Because you know what? Maybe it's valuable enough for you that you do need to keep it. But make sure that if it is valuable enough for you to keep it, that you really understand the value that it's giving you. And not just that you're going to allocate a space for it in your life. Make sure it deserves that space. So where do we go from here? Now, once you've completed sorting through the things, you kind of have to figure out where to put them, how to put them away, what to do with the piles of things, what to do with the categories that you've come up with, what to do with these ideas that are coming out of our mind. So today we're really going to be talking about where things go, how to put them away, and what systems to use to put them away so that you might actually find them again, so they don't just end up back in a new pile in another couple of hours or days or weeks. So regardless of what you're what you're organizing, and we started to do this last week, you really need to determine what your vision for the space is. What do you really want to do there? What do you really want it to look like? What do you really need in there to do whatever it is you want to do? Now, these questions, I know, were part of the handout that you got, so, and it sounds like, Brian, you certainly got a head start on this, and hopefully all of you played with it a little bit. So what kind of systems work? Generally, the easier the system, the better it is. When you over-engineer it, it's impossible to keep track of what you've done. It's impossible to, or I shouldn't say the word impossible. It's very difficult to keep track of the system you got. It's very difficult to keep it up, and it's very difficult to find things. The goal here is that the space functions for you. It doesn't have to function for anyone else generally, as long as it's working for you. And it only has to work good enough to make your life easier, to make it manageable. It's not going to be a perfect system. There really never is such a thing. You're not going to achieve perfection, and if you aim for it, you may never bother starting because you're never going to get there, and we all know it. So by this point, ideally, you have gotten rid of some of the things that you aren't keeping. You may have tossed them, you may have given them away, you may have recycled them, whatever you're doing. And now the question is, what do you have left? What types of things do you have? Do they all belong in the same place? You might want to think back to how you visualized your use for the space that you're working in. Do those things that are left in your piles, in your room, in wherever you are, do they really fit in the space that you want it to be in? You know, it may be that, you know, you're working in an office and you have tons of stuff and maybe there's a set of paints in there for some reason. And the paints are really important to you. Maybe they're your paints, you like to work with it, or maybe they're your kids' paints or whatever, but do they belong in that space? They may not. If they don't belong there, they need to leave the space. Now, you can have rooms that have multifunctions, but even within those rooms, you should have an area for different things. You know, think back to like, you know, nursery school setup or a kindergarten kind of thing. They have, for any of you who have kids, there's usually like a dress-up area, there's a cooking area, there's a reading area, there's a blocks area. There's, you know, it's separated out by function. So if you're using a room for multifunctions, you can separate things out by function. So in one area, you'll have things for whatever tasks you want to be there. This past weekend, actually, I was teaching a class at our local adult school, and there was one of the men in the class told us a story. He was incredibly fortunate, and he and his wife decided to redo their office, and they had a home office that they used. They were each operating small businesses out of the office as well as running the home, and what they did to reorganize the office is they emptied it completely, and they only added back into the office the things that they would be using there. And by doing that, they created a real haven for themselves. They pulled themselves out of the clutter of the rest of their home, and the office, well, it's not always neat. It's always functional. It always works for them because the tools they need and only the tools they need are available. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions to this point?
This is Judy. I'm just filled with questions because it all makes perfect sense.
Judy, can I ask you to speak up a little bit, please?
Sure.
There you go. Better. Much better.
I can't seem to wrap my mind around the basic questions. They make sense to me, but I can't seem to answer them.
Okay, Judy, let's play with you for a minute then. Is that okay?
Sure.
What questions do you understand but can't wrap your mind around?
Okay, let's go back to the worksheet. Here's one. How do you envision the space looking once it is organized? I have no clue. No clue whatsoever.
What space are you working on?
The table that is in my computer room.
Okay. So the table in the computer room.
I mean, one idea is that I want it empty first. I mean, that's like my first goal, so that then I can decide what really needs to go on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the baskets that are on there don't need to be there. I know that. They are all things in the baskets that need to have something else done with them. They don't need to be out in baskets on the table.
Okay, so when you look at that table, are you expecting to work on the table?
That's the question I can't answer. I think I'm expecting to have tools on that table and maybe a system so that I knew what to work on next and what was, I don't know, I can't even think of categories. I'm really going around in circles.
Okay. Well, let's stop before you get yourself nervous here. So you're looking at tools on the table. Do you have anywhere else in that room that you would want to be working in or working at, rather?
The desk where the computer is.
Okay. So you have a computer desk, and this is kind of like a side table or a spare table or an end table or whatever you've got in the room.
Yes.
So this isn't really a work table.
It is. I don't sit there, no.
Okay. So you do not envision it for working at?
No.
Do you envision it being in the room?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're not going to be working on it, your choices are either stuff is on it or stuff isn't on it.
Right.
Forget what the stuff is for now.
Okay.
Do you see it more being a stuff on or a stuff off table?
There's the kernel of the problem. I don't know.
If it could be any way you want it in the world, the ideal office for you, would it have stuff on it or stuff off it?
It would be a little bit taller so I could work on it at a different height standing up, like to cut out patterns if I'm sewing.
Okay.
It would be taller, and it probably would be mostly empty.
Okay. So it doesn't sound like it's the table that you really want in there.
I kind of think I do. What do you mean by that?
You just told me that the table would be higher.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, it's possible that it's adjustable.
Okay. So, you know, that would be something I would look in. Is this an adjustable table?
Right.
And it also sounds like you're leaning towards a stuff off.
Yeah.
Now, that might,
I am.
You know, you might still end up with a couple of things lying on there, but you're leaning towards stuff off.
Yeah.
You're leaning toward it being a place where you can see the table.
I think so.
Does this help you move through the questions a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard for me.
It's very, very hard. And they seem like such simple little questions, right?
Yeah.
What do you see for it? Piece of cake.
They make all the sense in the world, but I really have trouble wrapping my brain around them. I did like Rosalind's term of significant interruptions, because I certainly have had those this week, too, and I like it better than I didn't manage to accomplish it because I was busy. I like that term. It's much more positive.
It's a lot more positive. All right. So I'm going to move on a little bit now so that we make sure we get through my notes here, and then we get back to yours. Because I want to put myself first for that moment. How's that? And I usually don't. So, you know, I have one more question for you, Judy. Over the course of the last week, were you able to look at what you've got and decide whether or not you want them, those things?
I actually have had very little time. It's been a weird week. But I went over it in my mind. I haven't looked at it specifically, but I need to.
Okay.
I think that most of it I put there because I think I did need it. At least at the time I thought I needed it,
yeah.
I have to reevaluate that.
Okay. And, you know, again, to kind of envision, you're kind of stuck between a specific place that you're working in as well as it being your office.
Yes.
So, you know, it may or may not live on the table, but it may really live in the office. So you might want to envision
exactly.
The way your office functions and how that table is a piece of it.
That, to me, is the nugget, but it's the part I can't do yet. So
yeah.
In order, I mean, I'm thinking upside down. I'm thinking if I get everything out, then maybe I'll know, then maybe that will reveal to me a bigger picture.
Which is exactly what that man in my class did over the course of the week, you know, last week. He cleared out his office completely and brought in the things that he needed.
That would be ideal if I could do that.
Yeah. Not always easy, depending on the physical space you're working in and, you know, the space around you.
Exactly.
So, all right. Let me see, look at my notes here and see where we're at. Okay. We're going to talk about some organizing techniques. And I know I sent out an email that had notes on it, so hopefully you guys got that as well. But I'm going to tell you, you know, we were talking about how you really want to, how you visualize your room is really very important. But the other thing you want to think about is, you know, how often you use the things that you're using. So, you know, now that you've kind of sorted through things, maybe got rid of a little bit, maybe your brain is just thinking about how you would do it. You really, as you're putting things away, you want to start thinking, how do I use whatever it is I'm putting away? And I'm going to tell you a personal example of mine. I consider myself to be a fairly organized person. I just kind of am, and it's worked for me. And I'm kind of happy about it. And we redid our kitchen 6 years ago. And I do a lot of cooking. And as a result, I use roasting pans a lot. I use them several times a month, maybe even once a week. So I use them a lot. And when we designed the kitchen, we had a cabinet put in, and you know what? Roasting pans fit perfectly in there. They're nice and convenient. They're right near where I need them to be, right by my sink. They're just wonderful. The cabinet fits them perfectly. So I was using this cabinet for roasting pans. Now, any of you who know anything about cooking, I use cutting boards also. Now, I use cutting boards a lot more often than I use roasting pans. I'm using cutting boards several times a day. So we designed our kitchen. We put the roasting pans exactly where they're supposed to be, and we put the cutting boards clear across the room in this pantry area off to the side that's at least a 4 or 5 second walk to get to. And I found that my cutting boards were always on my counter or I wasn't using them. My roasting pans were always so convenient, and they were always put away after I used them, and they were always right there when I needed them. But for years, literally 4 years, I always had cutting boards either on my counter or nowhere to be found. I literally woke up in the middle of the night one night. I don't know what possessed me. Woke up in the middle of the night and said, oh, my goodness, my cutting boards and my roasting pans need to switch places. Because I use the roasting pans a lot, once a week or so. They need to be convenient, but they don't need to be the closest thing to me. So to think about, as you're putting things away and as you're finding the homes for them, how often do you use these things? How convenient do you really want them to be? Now, the flip side of this is that if you want to use something more often and you're not using it, you may want to make it more convenient too. So if there's something you're only using 2 or 3 times a month and you want to be using it daily, pull it up to the forefront. Let yourself see it. Let yourself be able to access it a little bit easier.
How do labels fit into that?
Oh, we're going to talk labels. Labels are among my favorite thing in the world. Labels, I can't imagine living a life without a label somehow. I'll get into this, but I've actually labeled a refrigerator with people. You could label anything, and it's incredibly valuable. One other thing to think about, especially if you're the kind of person who needs to move around a little bit, kind of counterintuitive here, but maybe those things that you use all the time shouldn't be within arm's reach. Maybe you need to stand up and get it. Maybe that'll help the way you work. So really to understand you, to understand how you work the most productively, and to put things where you're going to be able to use them in the manner you need them. You know, it's really about how you use these things. You're really not trying to build a space that's going to be photographed in Real Simple magazine. You're trying to create a space that functions for you. So it really is something, as you're putting things away, it's really important to think about you. And you know, putting away things is really kind of scary, that whole out of sight, out of mind. So now we're going to get into Judy's question about labeling. One person I was talking to one day was actually, she was driving somewhere, and she had one of these little GPS things tell her, you know, make a right here, make a left there. And really what we're doing when we're doing something like labeling is creating a little navigation system for us. We're creating a map. We're telling ourselves where to find things and where to put them away. I find that just a simple label in a clear plastic bin goes a really long way to helping create this little navigation system. You might not like the way a label looks on things, but I bet it looks a lot better than the clutter does. Mm-hmm. And if you opened up your house and you had labels on everything in your living room, in your kitchen, in the playroom, in the den, in every single room of your house, your guests might say, wow, a little bit kind of crazy about these labels, yeah? But that'd be the end of it. You'd still be happy to invite people into your homes. You wouldn't be worried about the clutter. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. There was actually one client I was working with who had an extremely poor working memory. And for him, it was literally, if you put a paper away, it was gone. This man was the president of his company with 300 people reporting to him on two coasts, here in New Jersey and also another office out in Oregon. He had tons of paperwork, and it was all over his desk. Yeah. He couldn't find anything. He couldn't get his work done. And yet he was afraid to put anything away because if he didn't run across it on his desk again, he would never remember it existed. And we solved his filing problem by doing really what we're talking about right here. First, we went through the papers and decided what he needed and what he didn't need. And we created a set of rules for him. What could be recreated? Did somebody else have it? What would it be used for again? So we did exactly the kind of things that we're talking about. Then what we did to complete the job so that he was confident that, I just lost my place in my notes. I'm sorry. Oh, here we are. We took a simple sheet of paper at that point. You know, nothing expensive. I told you I don't like spending money on a lot of these things. But we took a simple sheet of paper, and we looked at the papers that he had left after we got rid of the thing and really broke him down and decided what categories did he have, what categories of stuff. For him, it was files. It doesn't have to be files. You know, what categories of things did you have? And then we took these files, we made them into files, and we put them into his filing cabinet, completely out of sight, right? Terrifying. We went one step further. We made him a roadmap. We took another piece of paper, actually three, one for each drawer, and listed what was in the filing cabinet. So at that point, he was able to see what he had. Always visible to him were the different categories of things he had in his filing cabinet. He then didn't have to remember if something was followed by agenda meeting or meeting agenda. It was there. It was written out for him. It was a very, very, very visual way of doing it. I have found that a simple A to L and an M to Z on filing drawers is completely ineffective. List what you've got in there. Show, you know, make it visible. Give yourself a roadmap. Give yourself a navigation system. I told you I had a client who labeled the refrigerator. We went through all the things. We sorted through them, things that we never used, things that we threw out, things that we kept. We got rid of the moldy cheese and all the old deli meat and everything else. And then we looked around her refrigerator and decided how to store things. The things that were very perishable, she put on eye level. The things that she always remembered she had, like soda, milk, or whatever else it was that she always remembered she had, we put out of eye level. She didn't need to have a visual reminder of it. We then labeled areas. Leftovers, eat today, perishable. We labeled things so that she would know what was there. We put an area for milk, and we labeled it milk, so that milk always went there. We labeled an area soda, because she drank a lot of soda, and it always went there. But the key for her was having a label, having an area labeled perishable, because those were the things that always disappeared. So, you know, it's just important to think about how you label things is really dependent on you. Questions before I go on? Comments? Brian, I'd love to know how you're going to label your mind. It's going to be fun. Really quiet. Okay. Either I'm overwhelming you completely or I'm very, very clear. So I'm just going to assume I'm clear until people speak up.
Yeah, I was on mute, but thanks.
Okay. So you're labeling your mind now. I love it. And, you know, the one thing you might want to think about, Brian, is that as you're decluttering your mind, how are you going to capture the information that you're taking out of your mind? And how can you label the types of things you take out of your mind? You know, random idea, think about this again in 6 months, or idea that I really need to act on this today. So how are you going to capture that and label those thoughts?
If I can say that you hit on something that I have thought about, I'm thinking about, and the best that I am able to come up with is I love, but I think I may need to redo these sheets. Here it is. These daily planner, quick notes, daily planners. It's yellow and white, and it's got to-do lists on there, and it also has appointments and blah, blah, blah. And I like the idea of being able to have one of those a day, and so when a thought comes to my mind, I got to decide, do I need to write it down? Do I need to pitch it? Do I need to put it down for today? Or for tomorrow or for next week.
Yeah.
And getting it out of my mind on the paper allows me to forget about it until it's time to act on it.
So you are assigning a time to it. You're labeling it in that way also. You're assigning an act-on time.
Yeah, I was taught also to never overbook your day, to know what you can get done in a day and only put so many, put X amount of time on things and allow for unexpectedness, et cetera.
Yep.
It's putting all these things down that you want to get done today, knowing it ain't going to all get done.
Yep. I've worked with clients. I've spent a lot of time on to-do lists with clients, and we're not really going to be focusing on that today, although that might be a great topic for a new class. So, by the way, if anyone has topics for classes, please let me know. I love creating these things. But what, you know, with this one particular client I was working with, she had a list of things, you know, a two-page to-do list. And, of course, it never got finished. And what we worked on was taking this two-page to-do list, which is really more of like a parking list, you know, just capturing ideas, and looking at that two-page to-do list and picking out the three or four things that she wanted to accomplish on a specific day. Part of her parking list also included deadlines, so that, you know, if this was an idea, something I want to do, but, you know, there really is no timeline, just maybe she wrote next to it, think about it mid-December. You know, just something, I come back to this, is this still a realistic idea? So to have a to-do list that's realistic is very important.
To have what you say?
I'm sorry?
Can you please repeat that last thought or last two sentences?
To have to-do lists that are productive, that, you know, to pull those two or three ideas or three or four ideas out of this huge parking list and having a to-do list that is real, things that you really intend on doing on a specific day, is very, very important and really helps streamline what you're doing. And, in fact, organizing the kind of stuff that we're doing here, organizing our things, really belongs on a to-do list or it disappears. But on a realistic to-do list and not on a big parking list that says, yeah, one of these days I'm going to get to it.
Excuse me, Carrie. This is sure. Melanie.
Hey, Mom.
One thing I'm having trouble with is my visualization. I'm able to visualize what I want to do, but I can't see it getting done. For instance, you know, if I'm reading magazines, I write down, like, websites that I want to look at, or, you know, when a mail comes in, I put prospectuses aside that I want to read. And so I have all these things that I want to do that I can visualize, but I can't visualize the organization on how to get there.
You know, Melanie, you've hit on something so strong. Can I just ask you one question before I start answering some of this stuff and asking you some more questions? What part of your, what are you looking to organize? Where are you starting?
Well, it's a multifunctional room, which is an office and a craft room.
Okay. So you're within that office space, that's where you would want to be looking at prospectuses or something like that, I'm assuming, like for investments or other things that are going on, and handling your mail there, handling... Are you also reading the magazines in there?
No. No,
okay.
I'm not.
But
I have...
The computer is there, right?
Correct.
Okay. So then, you know, as you're going through things, and I tell you, I did this the other day, and it was among the most painful things I've done, is to really to make some tough decisions and say, how likely is it that you're going to review it? I had a pile on my desk, and like I said, I'm an organized person, and I've written these rules to you. I know what the rules are, right? And I had a little pile on my desk. It wasn't all that big. It was about 4 inches tall. But in that pile, I had things, articles that would really make a difference to me and my business. I had things that I needed to figure out what to do with. How am I going to incorporate this stuff into my business? How am I going to incorporate it into my life? And it had been sitting there literally for 3 months with the idea that I'm going to get to that pile, I'm going to get to that pile, I'm going to get to that pile. And for 3 months, that pile was sitting there laughing at me because, you know what, I never got to it. And I finally looked through it one last time, and I said, you know what, time to make some real decisions. And I went through the pile, and I said, all right, you know what, this is an idea for a class I want to do. I'm going to put this with ideas for classes that I want to do at some point. And I actually called it an incubator. Not there yet. I don't want to lose it, but I put it away. And some of the other stuff in the pile, I said, you know what? These are really interesting articles. And they have an impact on me. They have an impact on my clients. They have an impact on my business. And I'm throwing them away. And it was really, really hard to do. And this is like someone who's pretty good at this stuff. I love throwing things away. And I couldn't do this. And I finally did it. And you know what? I felt 100% better. Because all of a sudden, these things weren't laughing at me anymore. So really what you need to do, Melanie, and I'm not saying throw any of this stuff away. What I'm saying is to look through it and to decide for yourself, and it's going to take some really deep soul searching, are you going to be looking through this prospectus? What value would looking through this prospectus give you? What value would looking at these websites give you?
Mm-hmm.
If you needed that information some other time, could you find it a different way? Is it costing you more in physical and emotional time and effort than you're getting from it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. It truly isn't. But once you make peace on either side of it, that yes, it's worth my physical time and effort to deal with these prospectuses, then you'll find the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you figure that, you know what, it's not worth my time and effort, then it comes time to start forgiving yourself for letting it go.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much just setting goals for how you want to live your life then.
It really is.
Like exercising or time with children or whatever.
Yeah. Am I going to exercise? I know I'm supposed to. But am I going to? Boy, that's a whole different question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, yes, I am going to, it's really important to me, then you find the time in your life to do it. If you say, you know what, I know I'm supposed to, I know I should do it, although supposed to and should kind of words coming up, everyone's telling me to do it, but if it's not important enough to you, you're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
So allow yourself to let it go.
Okay.
Does
that's very helpful. Thank you.
Good.
Oh,
I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know, it's... You know, and you use the word also, it's just an easy question of, well, yeah, it's an easy question, but boy, that answer is tough, you know? So I'm glad we went through that. I think that's valuable for everybody. I just want to go back to labels for 1 minute again. A lot of us view labels very differently. I was working with someone the other day. Actually, I was working with a mom helping her kid. And she was complaining to me that her son never, ever, ever looked at the schedule that she very, very carefully created to put on his locker. It told him what classes he had, what homework he had to bring home. It told him everything. Turns out this kid is dyslexic. Isn't a real reader. So there are other ways to do it. If you're not a label, if you're not a reader, if these words just kind of blur for you, and a lot of people the words blur, whether or not you're dyslexic, make a picture. Pictures aren't just for kindergartners. What we ultimately did for this kid was she went and she created a schedule for him that was really visual, that instead of writing the word social studies, there was a globe. Instead of writing the word math, it said 2 plus 2. Instead of language arts, there was a picture of a book. So he was able to look and to see what he needed without reading the words. So what stands out for you? It might be color coding. So as you're creating labels for yourself, make labels that make sense for you. You don't have to use a little P-touch thing that just says, you know, whatever it is. Make a label that makes sense for you. You may even want to take it a step further. I was working in one woman's house, and I had nothing to do with this, but so the most brilliant label I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen a lot of labels. This one said this kid, he was, I think, about 8 or 9 when he made it, had a toy chest in his room, and it was a wooden toy chest, so you couldn't see into it, which isn't my kind of toy chest. I like to be able to see into these bins. But what he wrote on the toy chest was a label just on a piece of masking tape with a Sharpie, my favorite kind, and it said on it, toy chest, look in here when bored. So it really identified when is he going to be using it. What is the purpose for whatever you're labeling? Paper might be a great thing to put on a label, but paper, use when creating whatever you're creating, whatever it's going to be. Paintbrush is great. Paintbrushes, use these for this project or these types of projects. So to really identify what have you got, really start putting labels on things. One thing that's really useful in creating systems for yourself is to really think about any system that you've got in your life today that work. I remember someone on the call, I don't remember who, told me they were very good at time management. But what part of the time management works? What systems do you use to help it work? And the more you can pull some of the systems that you're using there into some of your physical organizing systems, the more likely it is that the physical organizing systems start to work. If you've got some systems maybe for mail today that works, or maybe for clothes or crafts or whatever it is, that you've got systems at work, can you tie any of the things that you're doing now into those systems? I'll work with clients a lot on remembering to take the medication. If they tend to brush their teeth every day, we try to maybe tie brushing their teeth with taking their medication. If they drink coffee every morning, can we tie that habit, can we tie that system that works into the system of taking their medication? So to try to tie things together is very helpful. Questions? No. Okay. I want to talk just a little bit about products, because I know everyone's itching to go and spend tons of money at Staples or something. First thing you need to do really is to see what do you have, one in terms of organizing products, but also what are you looking to put away. You generally want to store like products together, so that means something like socks should all be stored in one place, as opposed to in 12 or 15 different drawers. Although you may find that sports socks go in one place and dress socks go in another. So again, it depends on you and how you function. But generally, like things go with like, and things you use together go together. How much space does all this take up, and where do you want to keep it? Do you want it on a shelf? Do you want it on the floor? Do you want it on a table? Do you want it on in a cabinet, in a drawer? So how do you want to be able to use it? Before you go into any of these organizing stores or before you begin your search online, set yourself a budget, because you could spend hundreds of dollars on this stuff. And you probably don't need to. The other thing I would say is especially before you go online, set a time limit. How much time do you want to be spending on this? Because again, you know, especially online, you could be doing this for hours and hours and hours, and you'll probably end up with things you found in the first 5 or 10 minutes. So really, make a decision beforehand. How much time and how much money do you want to spend on this? We're looking for good enough here. We're not looking for perfection. You could get better as you move on further, but for now, look for good enough. My favorite organizing tools are a Sharpie and masking tape. I think they are probably the most effective, cheapest, most flexible tools you can find. I also tend to love those either Rubbermaid or some other brand clear storage bins, but I would certainly still label the clear bin. Just because it's clear doesn't mean that as soon as you put that cover on it, it doesn't disappear. And I find for the most part, those things, masking tape, a Sharpie, and a clear Rubbermaid bin will serve most of your storage needs. In terms of file folders, you could go all out and buy all the pretty colored ones, or you could stick with the plain and boring ones. It's got to work for you. I was working with one client who, she was an art teacher, and her files were all plain and boring. She couldn't stand looking at it. She needed exciting and colorful, but she didn't have to have exciting and colorful and categorized by color. She just wanted color. So what makes sense to you? My files, I like clear boring, except that my client files are my favorite color. They're blue. Everything else is boring, but my client files for me stand out. So it depends on how you want to see it. You may want to associate colors with categories. Again, that's up to you, but keep it broad. Don't micromanage this. Don't make your filing system too intricate because things will get lost and you'll never remember where things are. You'll never be able to put them away. And there's no right or wrong to it. Some people, I've worked with a lot of people who really like using Redwell files. Those are those legal files that you'll often see attorneys carrying. And in each Redwell file, they'll keep a category of stuff. So again, it's got to work for you. Questions? Comments? All right, let me just tell you what your challenge for this week is going to be. And then we'll have a couple more minutes for questions. This week, your challenge is really twofold. I've got another worksheet that I'll be sending out to you. But really what I'd like you to do is to continue in the same area that you've been, or if you've discovered that the area you're working in is really the wrong area, to make a conscious decision to switch. But make sure it's a conscious decision and not just I'm bored of this area, I'm moving on to another area. And to really spend the same 15 to 30 minutes a day working. You may still need to do some decluttering, but if you can, try to move your thinking at least, even if you're not moving your physically what you're doing, and start thinking about what kind of system's going to house the stuff that you're going to have left. And really want to be thinking of it in terms of how you want that space to function for you. Start to do what we did with Judy. What do you really want to be doing there? What do you want to be doing in this office? What do you want to be doing at that table? And really start to envision how you want this space to function, what you want there for you to be functioning, and how that system is going to move on for you. And we've got 5 minutes left, and I am open to answer as many or as few questions as we could get to. And again,
Terry, this is Melanie. How do you go about finding homes for new items that you bring in your home?
Oh, that is such a good question. I would say before you even bring it into your home, you need to ask yourself a couple of questions. And really, it's the same questions you're asking yourself with the things that are in your home. What value is it? What value is this going to bring to my life? And even before you bring the item into your home, ideally, you're saying, where is it going to be used? Do I have a space for it where it's going to be used? And really, you're going to be using the same kind of questions. What function is it? How do I want to use it? Why do I want to use it? When do I want to use it? Where do I want to use it? What do I want to use it with? And those kind of questions should help you to start narrowing down where do you want to keep it.
Okay.
That makes sense?
It does. And one other question I have, and it's not really related to organizing, but more of, you know, if you have something important and you put it in a safe spot, knowing where that safe spot is there any tricks or tips for, you know, I guess everything having a home maybe?
Everything having a home is going to make a huge difference for you.
Okay.
The other thing that makes a huge difference is when you put it away, make a real conscious decision as to where you're putting it. Don't just say, oh, this is important, I'm going to keep it over here where I can see it. And say, this is really important. These are the notes for the class that I'm about to be, you know, using at 4 o'clock. I need to have this. I will be using it by my telephone and by my computer. I'm going to be putting it by my computer.
Mm-hmm.
If it's important financial documents or something like that, if you could literally create a home for important financial documents and label it, give it some dignity. Show it why, you know, allow it to have a space in your home and in your life if it's important. But create a true home for it, and then you'll be able to find it and use it. And, yeah, we'll still always lose one last piece of paper. That's just being human.
Mm-hmm.
But
I have something. It's Brian. And are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. I had to make sure I was unmuted there. It's sort of like three questions, but I'll just say it. One thing is we talked a lot about organizing of our things. And one thing I desperately am trying to do is improve time productivity is one thing. However, on the subject of organizing of our things, which is part of the reason why I want to start with my mind, let's say we all achieve goals of organizing. The difficult task of maintaining that organized area so that it's not back trash again is a huge challenge. And in harmony with that, since it's a challenge for us sometimes to organize properly, are there good ideas, good places to look, maybe on the internet, where we can get ideas on how to organize our things? So that's a lot. Sorry.
All right, let's start with the last one because that's the one I remember the best. In terms of ideas, how to organize things, I'd really say that the best thing you could do is, for now, stick with the questions I'm asking you, I'm giving you, and let that help guide you. Because what I have found is that whatever system you try to follow that somebody else sets up, as good as the system is, it's not yours. So if you could let your own instinct guide you, you will probably get to a much better system for you than you would if you just follow somebody else's, here's the system, use it. So I would really trust your own instincts in it as much as you can. There are tons of websites out there. I've got tips and tricks on my website. They're everywhere. But you know, for now, I'd say the more that you can trust yourself, the better you'll be. And use the questions I'm giving you as your guide.
Okay.
Refresh my mind. What was another question?
On the subject, okay, once you do organize, the challenge of maintaining it.
Maintaining. A lot of that is time management. And hopefully over the course of last week and hopefully again over this coming week and the following week, you'll start really deciding when is a good time that you can spend just a few minutes a day doing it. Or a few minutes every other day, so it becomes part of a habit. So it becomes a habit for you to keep a piece of paper with you so you can get those thoughts out of your mind, or whatever it is. But to create a habit, or, you know what, I finished my work, it's 5 o'clock, I'm leaving the office right now. Before I leave the office, I clear my desk, or whatever it is. There's no real magic to it. It has to become part of your habit. And building the systems that we're talking about, and the more the system works for you, the more likely it is that you'll be able to maintain these habits. And real quick, what was the last question you had there? I know we're working backwards, right?
let's hear. Time productivity. You said time management skills. Improving time management in general.
The biggest thing I could do to recommend with time management is to wear a watch. to understand to wear a watch and to use it, to take advantage of timers, a timer on your computer, a timer on your stove, a timer wherever you are, but to start being aware on a exterior, outside of you, as opposed to just inside of you, how much time is really passing, so that you could start to really start to assign the right amount of time to projects you're doing. All right? Well, we are at 5 o'clock, actually a couple minutes after, so we're going to stop for today. If anyone's got more questions, feel free to send me an email, and I will get that next worksheet out to you probably within the next, 20, 30 minutes or so. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie.
Okay.
Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.